Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. Thank God we're able to be able to get back together. Dr. G, you on the line with me tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
All right. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and to study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., it's another rainy night in DMV. We thank God that we are able to get through the storms of the last few days. I know the weather has been up and it's been down, but we thank God that through it all, he's kept us in the midst of the storm. And we know that we can trust God to see us through. We're kind of still on a little buzz from the announcement this afternoon that the United States of America, Lord willing, is going to experience a black woman on the Supreme Court, the highest court of the land in the United States of America, which is something that you and I and so many people have only thought about and dreamed about. But to see the vote of the U.S. Senate today to pass the nomination, and Lord willing, at the end of June, Justice Breyer resigns that she will be sworn in as the first black female justice in the history of our country. Yeah. Sheila G.
Amen. It was such a blessing to see. It's such an honor. And all I could say was look at God, because despite the stumbling blocks that Satan tried to put in her way, she held on and proclaimed her faith. And when she had that opening up, she said, by faith. And as soon as she put that out there, she went through the confirmation hearings and the evilness that came and the disrespect and held herself up high, and then you had a black woman leading the confirmation, confirming another black woman to be the first black justice in the Supreme Court, received a standing ovation, and those that came against her had to walk out, because you know Satan can't stay where the glory is, had to walk out with their heads down, the hatefulness that they spewed, which shows you that God will make your enemy your footstool. So she just basically stepped up and stepped over him. To God be the glory.
Amen. Dr. G, you have anything to say on that?
No, we're just thankful to see it. You know, when how they treated her, especially how they treated her. And, you know, again, it's all about the color. And they went through all of that to try to prevent a black woman from getting on that seat. You know, I keep telling people we live in some rough times right now. And I told them Wednesday night, if you don't know the Lord, you need to get to know him quick.
Amen, amen, and that is so true. We want to go back to the Word of God because, you know, we're talking about this Supreme Court thing and the characters that are supposed to be on the Supreme Court. They are supposed to act, you know, civil and be a deliberative body to be able to do things and not be a hostile, but it was two, I believe, of the senators that did not make it to the floor because they didn't have the proper attire. The proper attire for the men is to have a tie on.
Yeah.
And because they did not have a tie on, they voted from the cloakroom. And in other words, they were revealed for who they were.
Yeah.
And so the tie, I know people say, well, what does it got to do with the Bible study? The tie is, last week we were talking about wolves in sheep clothing.
Yeah.
And the ability of the wolves to be able to blend in with the sheep is because of disguise. But once the disguise is removed, then you can see the wolves for who they are. And so that brings us to our lesson in Acts 20. We see the Apostle Paul is warning his disciples, warning his pastors, warning his leaders of the wolves in sheep's clothing. And we, I think sometimes in the church, don't believe that their wolf packs are actually in the church. And we have to understand that in the church, you have wolf packs and you have flocks. And
yep.
It's the desire of the Antichrist to run the wolf packs in the church in order to destroy not only the overseer, but also to destroy and scatter the flock. And so it's a reality, a sobering reality that we have to understand that as overseers, as people of the body of Christ, that everybody that comes into the building, that comes into the church, that's dressed like a sheep, is not a sheep. Sheila G, help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. It's true. And that's the problem with us trying to approach it with our fleshly eye. It is a spiritual battle. It's not a battle between flesh, you know, man to man. It is between God and like you said, the Antichrist and the evil spirit. And people, if they're not careful, will allow that spirit to come up in there. And if you're not aware that, if you just focus on that person and looking out there at their outward appearance and not trying to spirit, trying the spirit by the spirit, that's, Satan will sneak up on you. I was listening to a message this morning during my devotions before I went to work, and one of the examples she used about us recognizing that sometimes Satan will get into people that are supposedly your friend, your family, or whatever, but that's just how you're not aware of it. And she specifically said, if you're not, it was about believing the word. And if you're not wrapped up in that word, you won't see it. And the example she gave was when Jesus was going to the cross and Peter was with him, and the soldiers came, and Peter immediately struck the soldier. He did not say, "Get behind me, Peter." He said, "Get behind me, Satan," because he was recognizing that even though Peter was his disciple, was trying to say, he allowed Satan to come in him to try to stop God's prophecy from going forward. And that's what we have to recognize. Like you said, that person may come in, they may not intentionally want Satan to get him, but they will allow it. If you don't stay prayed up, if you don't stay studying the word, it will get in them, and that's what will divide the church.
Amen, amen. So let's go to Acts 20, and let's go to verse 28, and we'll go down through the rest of the chapter. We go to Acts 20, verse 28, to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And so we have this perspective that God is saying that we should not only watch ourselves, but we should also watch ourselves in a manner that we can have the confidence of the flock to watch over them. In other words, the flock has to see the leadership have set a good example so that they will be able to have confidence that the leaders are looking out for them. And then the ultimate thing was to understand, the overseers need to understand, the leaders of the church need to understand that it was Jesus that bought the flock. In other words, the overseers did not purchase the flock, but they have been made overseers. They've been given the responsibility to oversee the flock, but the flock was actually bought or purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so when you have that dynamic of understanding who the church belongs to and who is part of the church and who God has placed as to look out or watch over the church, then you can understand the dynamic, and then everyone can work in that Holy Spirit. I call it the Holy Spirit lane, which God has ordained for you to walk in, is you can understand your role, you can play your role, and you can be successful, and you won't be frustrated. And so we have to understand that dynamic, that is God's church, that God has placed overseers of, and the overseers have to make sure that they set the example so that they can gain the trust of the flock, so that they can work together as the body of Christ to accomplish the will of God. And in that dynamic is how the success of the church flows. However, you have these wolves that will come in and distort that message. It will distort the whole message of verse 28. It'll say that the church belongs to the overseer. The church members will think that the church belongs to them. Good God Almighty. The church thinks that they can oversee. They think they can oversee themselves. And Dr. G, they just leave the Holy Spirit completely out of that thing. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I think I've lived through it a number of times. I know when I first went to New Birth, I had no idea what was in the midst thereof, but the Holy Spirit revealed to me who I was going to have to watch out for, and it helped prepare me for what was to come. Now, to the degree that I had to deal with it, no, I had to be on guard. And I've learned throughout the years that even some of the newer members that come on, you still have to be watchful and be in prayer, because they may come and, you know, they may be all high and, you know, they love the Lord and blah, 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 but it's all a front. And until people understand that they have to be led by the Lord, by the Spirit, and according to that word, you have to be on guard for those wolves coming in. Because, yes, they do come in, they're looking good, saying all of the right things, but, you know, you have to be on guard because they are coming in, and all it takes is one.
Amen, amen. Shield G, when we look at this next verse, Paul is letting them know how serious this thing's going to be. And I think sometimes the attitude gets lax in the body of Christ. I think we take things for granted, think that everybody that glitters is gold, and there needs not be any scrutiny. But
right.
Paul, he's getting ready to go to Rome, and he's going to break it down to his homies and from the church of Ephesus and let them know, you know, we need to get serious about this thing. And in verse 29, he says, I know, and I'm reading from the NIV, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. In other words, he's saying savage is a word that describes something that's not human friendly, something that's in a way that gives you something to be fearful for. If you look at in the King James, it says, take heed therefore, this is verse 28 in Acts 20. Verse 28 in the King James Version says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church, which he has purchased with his own blood. In verse 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So what this sets a picture, and Jesus was the one that talked in parables, and he set stories that he spoke of, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And so Paul, in this same vein, describing the people and leadership as wolves that will destroy the people that are a part of the body of Christ, which he describes as sheep. And so I think we have to take those terms and flip them out in today's vernacular to say people in leadership, amen, can destroy the flock. Certain individuals in leadership can destroy and tear up savagely, grievously the flock. And so what we have to do is we have to understand the word clearly to understand that we need to follow leaders like Paul. We need to follow leaders that are following, that we can follow as they follow Christ. We need to have a certain criteria, if you will, that when we bring or we look at people in the midst of us, that they are following Jesus, and that we can follow Jesus and that they can follow us as we follow Christ. But Paul says, when I leave, he said, this is what's going to happen. And in this same section, he says, not only this, look what he says in verse 30. He says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. In other words, people have motives, and I don't know if they're personal motives or arterial motives, but people that are in the flock, that are in the body of Christ, will come up and have motives in order to rise up and distort the truth, start lying, and draw disciples after them. And it's that way in the religious arena, it's that way in the political arena, that people have selfish motives, and what they'll do is they come up with lies and they'll come up with distortions in order to break up the norm so that they can be in power, that they can be in leadership, and they don't care anything about the flock or the church or the people of God. Shield G.
Amen. And the Bible talks about that a lot. It's really that people, like you said, have their own agenda, that they know the Lord, but they're relying more on being people pleasers and wanting to have the attention and wanting people to see how important they are and wanting to be part of. Some of them will actually come, and I've seen where they newly convert, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, I'm going to read a book, and then I want to be a deacon. No. One, it's a calling. But, and we were even talking about this in this past Sunday school, where you may be a seasoned Christian, and there may be someone that may be a new convert, but as a seasoned Christian, it's your responsibility not to do anything that would cause it to be a stumbling block for the new convert to grow. So in other words, if you start acting like you're holier than thou, or you do something in front of them where they're trying to say get off drugs or something like that, or turn from some of their habits, but you still do something to tempt them to go back that way instead of meeting them where they are, condemning them, then you're becoming a stumbling block. And in 1 Corinthians, or where we're studying, that is a sin. But people have their own agenda. They get saved and don't realize that Satan is allowing, that they're allowing Satan to come into them to manipulate others. And once you become that stumbling block, then you yourself have that sinful nature. But you will see that in church all the time. That's why as an overseer, you have to try the Spirit by the Spirit and nip it in the bud and let everybody know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect, but we are growing in grace. Pastor even told someone to during Sunday school, because they were saying something about they were better than those that weren't necessarily saved. He's like, no. You're not better than someone that's not necessarily saved, but you're better off because you're striving to be more like Christ.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, when you look at that in verse 30, when he talks about even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. It reminds me of Jesus, and Jesus had a small inner circle, if you will. And even in the midst of his disciples, his inner circle, he had one, Judas, that rose up and distorted the truth to try to get his agenda because he was frustrated with the manner in which way Jesus was leading. And I find that sometimes when people in the church are frustrated, or they have what they call their understanding or their vision, and they're not trying to hear, or they're not trying to follow the pastor or the overseer, that they'll rise up and try to, through lies, through deception, come against the leadership of the pastor, the leadership of the overseer, in order for their self-gain. And what that does is it destroys the flock. And this is the wolves. This is the savage distortion that comes in among the sheep. And so we see this, that if it's going to happen to Jesus, then surely it's apt to happen to us, Dr. G.
You're right. And I found, because I've lived through all that, with a lot of it, when these folks become officers, whether it's the deacon board, ministers, trustees, for some reason it's about the position, it's about the power that they have, and again, they don't understand that they're supposed to be filled with humility, but they let all of that go to the head. And because you're deacon whatever, or trustee, who you think that you can give orders to the pastor about the money or about the way things are running, and I think you and Sheila are right. You've got to nip that in the bud, because if not, it will grow. And I found that, you know, when I first got there, this one chairman who was the deacon's chairman, he had been carrying the church from the last pastor, and pretty much folk were listening to him. He was doing what he wanted to do. And then here comes this little snotty-nosed kid, and I had to literally stand up to him and let people know that this is not what the Word said, and show you how God worked, because the Lord allowed him to get sick. And then even in sickness, you know, he was dragging around an oxygen tank. And he was still trying to dictate as to what should or should not be. I mean, I remember one Sunday morning I was getting ready for service, and I heard all this commotion out in the midst of the – and they were supposed to be doing praise and worship. And boyfriend was just acting a fool. And I had to step out just to remind him, no, out of order. I said, no, you're out of order. And in the midst of all of that, boyfriend got mad, took his oxygen tank, took his wife, and walked. So those are the types of things that you are definitely going to have to go through. Because the devil will get into people. And, you know, I don't care how much Jesus they have in them, but because whatever reason they allow it to happen. And that's why, you know, people have to be very careful. You know, I'm watching, I'm praying now, and I'm checking out those that are coming into the church, and folks talking about, well, you know, they want to be a deacon. Nope, not here, because the Lord has not told me that. So you definitely have to be, you have to be on guard. You have to be praying, and you have to be watching.
Amen. And speaking of being on guard, this is what Paul says in Acts 20, verse 31, he says, so be on your guard.
Yeah.
And it's a thing of one of the political terms we're dealing with your enemy is the trust but verify. And in other words, you have to have a walk. You know, that's why we talk about a walking deacon or someone that's proving themselves, or a minister before they get ordained, and they have to prove themselves that they're able to demonstrate that they are have a good grasp of spiritual things according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word, how to conduct themselves, and have a good report among the people of the church. And so Paul is letting them know to be on guard, because one of the most devastating tools of the adversary is to cause the church to turn on itself.
Yes.
And when it turns on itself, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a dog that is chasing its tail and catches its tail and just mauls its tail to death. And what happens is its tail it seems like his tail is his enemy. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. Well, I remember seeing we used to have a dog our grandparents had called Boss, and Boss's tail was tore up because he would be sitting and he would see his tail move. He's wagging his tail. And when he saw his tail wag, he thought his tail was doing something to him. So a tail that's wagging, that's supposed to show positive emotion or positive energy, now is turned on. And so now the dog, and I would see Boss running around chasing his tail. And he would catch his tail and he would chew on his tail, and then he would hurt his own self because he was chasing and caught his own tail.
Yeah.
And it was like this reminds me of the church. It's like the church is being led to chase itself and to bite itself and to destroy itself. And it's a vicious circle, so much so that if somebody was trying to get through the backyard to get up into to grandma or granddaddy's house, Boss wouldn't have been aware, because Boss was what? Chasing his tail, he and hurting himself. And so now the robber could come on through, going up the steps and get by him, and Boss is still out there chasing his tail. This is the picture of the church that the enemy, Satan, wants us to have, is like a dog chasing and biting his tail. And now he done bit his tail, the tail is sore, so he gives up for a little while, saying, that hurt. But then he forgets, tail wags again, and back around he goes. This is how the church behaves, and this is how Satan wants the church to behave, that we are distracted from within. We destroy ourselves from within so much so that we cannot defend what God said that we should be taking the gates of hell. And when we understand this dynamic, what happens, we can take self-inventory and understand that anytime we have arguments, anytime we have disagreements, anytime we have a hatred or unlove or ungodly thoughts toward each other, we need to take inventory and be on guard to say, this is not of God.
Right.
This is of the spirit of Antichrist, and stop chasing and catching our tail. Sheila, can you help me out here?
And as you were talking about it, I was thinking about when Jesus, before he was going to the cross, when he asked the disciples to watch and pray, and they went to sleep. And that's what he said. You couldn't stay up just a few hours to watch and pray. And that's what we have to do. We have to watch and pray. Pray for each other. That's why I love so much about our prayer service, because everybody's given their testimony, and it encourages everybody, and that's how you stay on one accord. And even if, you know, sometimes, you know, Ma used to say people will test a lie instead of testify, but testify, you can say, I have fear. Church, I need you to pray for me. Test a lie is, I never have fear. Oh, God is so good, I never have any problems. You shouldn't have any problems either. But if you're honest and you call the devil out, everybody can be together and say, yep, fear is there, but you just got to not let that fear control you, and this is how you do it. Let us all share a word. That's how you watch and pray. And as you were talking, I was thinking about before we came to New Birth, when at our prior church, there was a sister church that they had a choir that was completely wonderful. They would come when we would visit them, and they would sing. Had young people in there, and they had other people, and their soloists were really, really awesome. Well, I got to be friends with one of the members of that church, because Billy would go over there every so often and be a guest preacher. And she said that it was stressful being in the choir. And I'm like, why was it stressful? She said, because the soloists were competing against each other. So if you sang and you had one little crack in your note, they, instead of coming, saying, girl, you sang that solo, to God be the glory, and recognize that it doesn't matter how you sound, you're singing to the glory of God. The other soloists would say, but I heard your voice crack. That's letting Satan in. That is letting Satan in. So then it just takes away from what God was telling you to do. And the pastor was like allowing that competition within that choir of who could out-sing whoever. And that takes away from God. So that's why we have to watch, we have to pray, and if it's not of God, we have to, like you said, be on guard, recognize it for it is, because a lot of times people are doing it, and if you don't point it out, it'll keep festering and going on and get worse.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, yeah, I know what Jill was talking about, but it's real. And the thing is, we definitely have to, just like Paul was telling folk, be on guard. Satan don't care about us. Satan don't care nothing about anybody except getting at God.
Yeah.
And he will use anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important, especially when we're talking about the church nowadays, you have to push people, and that's why I try to push folk at New Birth to become committed. You know, let's not just talk a good game. Get in that word. Have a good prayer life. Be serious about your walk with Christ, because if we're not, the enemy is going to continue to come after you. He'll steal your joy. He'll bring you down. You know, and you'll go through your periods of depression. You know, you're not yourself. You can't be happy. You can't enjoy the Lord because you got problems that you just don't know how to deal with. And in order to counter that, we've got to be focused on Christ. We've got to be focused on the Holy Spirit. I tell them, get connected to the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about how good the Lord is. Be about it. Put up or shut up.
Amen. Amen. And that's what Paul did. He was getting ready to go, and he was going to Rome. He was going to have his final days of ministry. And so he reminded them how serious this thing was. And I think a lot of times people are just take for granted the prayer and the seriousness and the maintenance that needs to be involved with maintaining your personal spiritual life and the life of the church. And you think it's just for a few people, maybe for the deacons or for the pastor or the brother, the grandmother to be prayerful. But everyone needs to participate and everyone needs to be on guard. Everyone needs to play a part. And so what Paul reminded them in verse 31, Acts 20, verse 31, and I'm reading it out of the NIV this time, it says, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." In other words, Paul knew. He knew that there was going to be trouble. And yes, for 3 years, he continued to warn them, and he did it night and day. In other words, he was always telling them, be careful, watch out for this, watch out for that. Yes. And I know, Sheila G., we used to get tired and we used to sigh and roll our eyes when our parents used to tell us stuff over and over again. We were like, "Ah, I know, Ma. Ah, I know, Dad. I know. Don't go here. Don't say this. Don't hang with this person. Yeah, we know." And we were like, you thought they were just like, if you ever watched the Peanuts Christmas thing during Christmas where Charlie Brown and the kids are hearing the teacher talk, and the teacher sounds like, and that's what your parents sound like when they're telling you the same thing. Don't go over here. Stay away from this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And you're going, "I know. You don't have to tell me." And so here Paul is saying, for 3 years, I warned you. I told you day and night that there's wolves among the sheep. Be careful. Watch out. Take care of yourself. Keep your prayer life together. People get tired, Dr. G and Sheila G. You're saying, go to Bible study. Have your personal relationship with God. Study your word. Know the word of God for yourself. Be sure that you practice love. Make sure you follow after this. That, and they get tired, and they're like, yeah. But Paul was crying, and many times our parents, or we as now as parents, we have the same compassion. We have the same love. We have the same concern for our children. As pastors, Dr. G, we have the same concern as leaders to know that if they don't listen, if they get out from under the ark of safety, Satan will tear them from limb to limb. He will wreck. He will destroy. And so we have to exhort. We have to talk. We have to preach. We have to teach that the body of Christ is supposed to edify. The body of Christ is supposed to build up. The body of Christ is supposed to love. The body of Christ is supposed to be a light, an example of God. The body of Christ is supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to tear down the gates of hell. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the one that's supposed to be on the offensive, not the defensive. But too many times we are not in a position led by the Holy Spirit to take the word, the gospel, the life-giving gospel to the world that is unsaved, because we're too busy doing triage in the body of Christ. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And as you're saying that, I think about, as I've watched Pastor, and since we've been married 30-some years, not just at New Birth, but at other churches, and how you have to put your human reaction, especially when you saw when you read in the scripture about where he says, I never stop warning each of you night and day with tears. And I have actually seen him cry for the church even before New Birth, because of that burden of, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I know where God can take you. I know where God can elevate you, but you just don't want to be committed. You want to have one foot in and one foot out. And yes, where there were, even at New Birth, and, you know, where it was like, I'm trying to tell you about Bible study. But don't do it for me. Don't make it seem like I'm nagging you to come to Sunday
mm-hmm.
school,
mm-hmm.
to be here at the church, to prayer service. I'm not trying to nag you for me. I'm saying doing it for you. But it is on the pastor, the overseer, when you get that resistance, as if you're doing something to punish somebody. Because like you said, as a parent, when they're trying to tell us to prevent us from something to happen to us and we suck our teeth and get an attitude, then as we get older, we're like, oh, that's what they were trying to tell me. And it's the same thing. I look at you and I look at, you know, how God has had to recycle the church because he had to run the devil out, and it was only because of your faith that you're like, okay, Lord, you handle this because I can't let these wolves stay in the church because it's bringing down those, and they're being a stumbling block for those that want to grow in grace. But it is heavy. There are those tears that you all cry for your flock, but that faith, that a true faithful overseer pastor will continue to pray, even if no more than three people left. But you will take those three people willing to be committed and willing to grow versus those that have no humility and are just there for form and fashion.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, it's something to be able to see the sheep being a safe place. And then to see the wolves try to destroy them, and it's heart wrenching to see the sheep go out from the safe pen, the safe ark of safety, and get ravishly tore up, and then foolish pride keeps them from returning back to the flock, and it's a sad thing to see that. And so your heart grieves, and I believe it was Jesus that told the parable about going after the one, even though the 99 were safe, that he went after the one. And that's the whole thing of being a shepherd, that you continuously, whether you're crying, whether your heart is heavy, is to continue to go and continue to reach that one sheep. And if you can reach that one, it makes a difference, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and you know, I guess because I've been in it so long now, I've gotten to the point where I'm going to nag them, I'm going to tell them, I don't care if they like it or not. I let them know that I have to be obedient to what the Spirit dictates to me. So, you know, and it is, but they take it as nagging. They take it as if you're getting on that case, and at that point, you know, they turn a deaf ear. And so at that point, you know, you continue to pray for them, but you have to let go and let God work on their heart. I tell them, I'm going to pray for y'all. You don't want to listen, but I go before the Lord and I'm praying. And Lord, you work it out. You convict them. You give them something to get them to the point where they understand and see where we're coming from, because there are some folk who are just hard-headed, and it breaks your heart. And as an overseer, as a pastor, you can see where they're headed, what road they're headed down, but nothing you say seems to make a difference. So all you can do sometimes is pray.
Amen, amen. I call myself I call myself the ordained meddler.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Amen.
And
I'm constantly preaching the word of God that's gonna meddle in your business to get you to turn back to the ways of God, and to watch out for the wolves that will come in and try to deceive you or use you and abuse you. And I've seen people get used and abused for selfish gain in ministry, where people are trying to get ahead and they'll just use and abuse people, and people will see something glittery or flashy or something, and they'll follow after that. And you're telling them, look, everything that glitter ain't gold. Stay the course, stay with the word, stay with what you know that God has done. And sometimes they get led astray, and so you have to again, like Paul said in that verse 31, with 3 years, he said, with tears, with tears, he said that he warned you day and night. And I think when you get to that place where you're loving and you're so concerned that you don't mind them rolling their eyes, you don't mind them sucking their lips, and you know, a lot of times I'll preface this when I was with my kids. I know you don't want to hear, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. And I know from the pulpit, I said, if you can't say amen, say ouch. it's just the thing where you know that you're irritating, that you know that you're getting on people's nerves, but you're doing it because I'd rather get on your nerves and I better rather irritate. And I used to say this to the young people. Well, we used to have a lot of young people, and they were hitting maturity, and their hormones were going crazy, and things started poking out on them. They started growing and start filling out as young men and young women. And I used to tell them, I said, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. But the whoremonger, God will judge. Hebrews, I forget what it was. But they would get mad and say, you always say that. And I would be like, yeah. And every time so-and-so rubs you the right way, and every time you get ready to do this, I want you to see my big old bald head. Saying marriage is honorable at all, and the bed is undefiled. and if you're good enough to get in the bed, you're good enough to put a ring on that thing, and they be mad, Pastor, you all in my business, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yep. And every time you go out with him or her, you'll see my big old bald head seeing the same thing. I want you to see that picture when you get ready to kiss him or her. I want you to see my big bald head telling you that this is what God said. And they would come back and they would laugh. But I often wonder if anybody ever seen my big bald head saying those words. Sheila G, help me out.
And it's the truth. You know, our mom and dad used to tell us, you know what? I have told you, I have nagged you, I put it in you, I've given you the direction, I've told you the truth, what's going to happen if you do this. If you get out there and you do whatever and you bump your head, yes, the Lord will forgive you. Yes, you can ask for forgiveness, you can turn around, but the one thing you can't do is plead ignorance. You can't act like you didn't know. You cannot act like that we didn't discuss the word. You can't act like we didn't give you the opportunity. And that's how it is with Jesus. He's like, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you free will. The choice is yours, and you can't have it Amen. Both ways. The choice is yours. Either you're going to follow Christ or you're not. Pastor preaches weekend, either he is or he isn't. Either he is the head of your life or he's not. You can't straddle it, and that's how we were raised. It's like the choice is yours, but you can never say I didn't tell you. So that's how it's supposed to be at church. And I think years ago they used to have these prosperity churches where it's like you just have to trust and have the faith, and whatever you want, you can have. And it misled so many people, because then when they did get into a situation, or when they did have fear, or they did fall down, they couldn't get up, so they ran back out to the street because the church was telling them if bad things happen to you, it's something wrong with you because you don't have the faith. But that's only because they were telling them good parts of the Bible. They weren't telling them about the wrath of God. They weren't telling them that, you know, if you do this, then this is going to happen. They didn't take them to Colossians 3 that says that when you're doing, when you're on a job and the master's coming up against you, you need to do that job as if you're doing it unto me, not as you're doing it unto man. So they didn't tell them that they were going to have challenges. They didn't tell them you have to put on that whole armor because you're going to be attacked. They just tell them, if you ask what you want, you're going to get what you want. Name it and claim it. You want that car? Put your hand on that car and say, God, give me the car. It doesn't matter that your credit's bad. You're only making $2 an hour. Just go ahead and buy the car. Then you're in debt. So then they're saying, well, you're in this bad fix because you don't have faith. No, we have to tell the truth. We can't sugarcoat it. We can encourage you. If you fall because you're not perfect, we can say, okay, turn from your wicked ways. A few months ago, we were talking about he'll heal the man. But you got to turn from your wicked ways. So you can't say we're not giving it to you, but it's up to you to act on it and grow in grace.
Amen, amen. And that thing is how I'm acting on it. And, you know, our parents, grandparents would tell you, a hard head makes a soft behind. And if you make that bed hard, you got to lay in it. And those are just some old, colloquial, old school, folksy, you know, proverbs that you know, they would tell. And so Paul was saying with tears, he would tell them to watch out for the wolves, watch out for, they are mean you no good. And so we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're just going to ask the question, have you learned the lesson that a hard head makes a soft behind? A hard head makes a soft behind. We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I have learned a lesson that a hard head makes a soft behind, whatever you just said, but I know what you mean. And I know what you talked about. Been there, done all of that, and kept doing it, and was doing this, that, and the other. But oh, the glory of God. He came
Amen.
In and he changed my life for me. Yes, he changed my mind, my heart, everything. And I'm on a different road now, and I'm on the right road now, and I want to continue on to be on that road. I already decided years ago, and I'm still trying to get there. And I just ask for everybody's prayers that I will get there, because I am committed. I've loved this commitment that I got. This is one commitment that I've loved. So, yes,
Amen.
I'm familiar with that, and I have learned a lot of lessons thanks to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, I believe in that, and I'm a victim of that. I have experienced it. Went through it with my parents. They had to use the rod many times. And even in my walk, the Lord had to use his rod many times. So I'm still learning the lesson. One of the things that my mom would share, especially me, I remember her telling me that so many times, to love many, to trust few, and learn to paddle your own canoe. And so that was
all right. I like that. I like that.
That really stuck with me. Don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God, and ask God and the Holy Spirit to direct you and show you what to do. And when you please God, you're pleasing man. And
Amen.
So, I'm still asking the Lord that still, you know, continue to work with me, because I'm still under construction. There's plenty of room for improvement. But truly, he has brought me a mighty long way, and I'm grateful. I'm truly grateful tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1211, 1211. Good evening.
Good evening. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Good evening.
I had to learn the hard way to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him and let him direct my paths. Because there were times I was like a bird on soggy ground complaining about nothing to eat instead of just digging a little bit for the worms the Lord had already provided.
All right,
his yoke is easy. His burden is light. When we do it in our own strength, we're setting ourselves up for headaches.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 60. Good evening.
Yes, I can agree that I have definitely about the question that you asked, yes. I, no matter how many times I was told to let God direct me and I saw the signs that God was giving me, I continued to try and do it my way. Mm-hmm. And now I have to sit here and I just got to wait it out and next time, I will definitely be listening to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. 0266. Good evening. 0266. Good evening. All right.
I've definitely my times in my lifetime as far as, you know, learning the hard way and everything and not listening, you know, and taking the signs when people don't hear me. So I can definitely say my eyes are open now, but I can definitely say that this new journey that I'm on is making me learn how to be a little peaceful within any type of situation and just learn how to just be patient.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. The last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was my number. yes, I'm still, honestly, I'm still figuring it out. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I've learned my lesson. I'm like, all right, okay, Lord, I figured it out. But then, you know, things happen, and I'm like, well, and there's another lesson to be learned. So I think, you know, overall, we're always learning things, and we're always trying to just be better individuals and just try to just strive to be better, you know?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5236. 5236. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So I also, just to piggyback on everybody else, I feel as though one of the best things for me is actually learning my lesson or learning something different every day. And just being able to hear everybody's different testimony and sometimes you just talk or even on a prayer service, just hearing everybody just speak on how they feel and what they've learned each and every day just is such an inspiration to me that I know that I can truly say that I'm going every day. And, you know, although you might experience some sort of challenge and battle with the flesh and falling, sometimes you might want to fall into that negativity of being complaining. But mm-hmm. for me, I can truly just say that it's definitely an experience for me every single day just to wake up every day and go through that challenge of fighting with the devil or people who aren't happy with themselves. So,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely know the lesson and have heard it about a hard head leaves for a soft behind. And let me add a sore behind. You know, I want to thank God for my mother and my father. I've had some spiritual, you know, I've had some spiritual things happen in my life and I've had some physical worldly things happen. But, you know, as a child and even probably as a teenager, you know, I had to learn that, you know, after a while, your parents ain't going to keep talking to you. And, you know, they're going to have to put that belt to you or put that hand to your backside. But, you know, I thank God that they never gave up on me. But, you know, as all the callers, you know, so eloquently stated, like, it's a process and we're never going to get it right, you know, but just the fact that God has allowed us to have another chance to try to get better. But stubborn-headed, being bullheaded is crazy because I look at some adults now where you're like, man, they didn't have their parents in their life or they didn't have a good circle. And I'm thinking all the time that I was fighting my mom and arguing with my dad and trying to whatever. But I'm like, but these are resources that God has blessed me with to help me along the way and to show me, like, look, when you become an adult, nobody's ever going to love you like your parents. Nobody's ever going to love you like the Lord and take care of you and be there for you. So as you start to experience life, you start to realize, and I think it's funny, we just talked about this yesterday on our church call. It's like mom wasn't crazy. Dad wasn't crazy. Now, granted, I didn't like the butt whoopings, but they were speaking the truth. They were actually speaking the facts. And then guess what? God gives us second chances, whether we earn it or whether we don't, or whether we feel it's right. God is going to always conditionally love us. Our parents are going to give us second chances. But in life, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. We all know that you mess up one time, depending on where it is or who it's with, that's it. You know, you're put in a box. You've set yourself back. You could die. You could end up in prison. You could actually ruin your life. So just the fact is that I've had so many stubborn moments. I've bumped my head and hit my head so many times. But then I started to realize this is necessary. And then as I started to grow, my parents started to put their hands off more and pull back more. Mm-hmm. And then I started to mm-hmm. embrace the word of God. And they realized, like, okay, we've taken you to a certain point. Now you got to get that relationship with God to carry you the rest of the way. But that doesn't go without that. I can call my mom if I need something. And she's like, hey, remember, like, you're going to do it this way, but I'm letting you know. So now I'm like, you know what? If I can avoid a storm, if I can avoid a trial and tribulation, it costs me nothing to listen. You know what I'm saying? And as you get older, you start to realize, like, I'm tired of bumping my head. I got too many knots. I got too many horror stories from times when I didn't listen. So now I appreciate when the elders give me some advice, give me some word of encouragement, say, hey, be mindful. Look at it this way. Don't look at it that way. And then my thought process started changing. It wasn't like, God, why are things happening to me all the time? Why am I doing this? It was like, you know what? Things aren't happening to me. Things are actually happening for me. You know, these negative things mm-hmm. allow mm-hmm. me to grow, because I can tell you now, yes, I'm a work in progress. I think somebody said it best. I'm under construction. But guess what? The success that I've had to get me to the point now, I had to struggle first. The struggle mm-hmm. always came before I was able to get to a point where I got it or there was some level of success. I had to go through the storm and I had to continue to get up and fight for everything that I've gotten to and the point that I got to in my life. And it's not for everybody. So, you know, I thank God that even though I've had a stubborn head, which led to a soft behind, the Lord still gave me an opportunity. My family still gave me an opportunity to come back and try it again and try it again and try it again. Like, okay, we got a little better. We getting there. Some days are baby steps. Other days, this is going, you're going to need some prayer and a whole lot of, you know, hand laying and some oil. But at the end of the day, the point is to get it. We're going to all have our different struggles. I'm not perfect. I'm still stubborn. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm stubborn when it comes to certain things. Do I recognize it? Yes. Am I honest with myself? Yes. And guess what? I know it's going to be a struggle to overcome it, but that's the goal, everybody, to get better, to continue to grow. My struggle may not be your struggle, but guess what? We could both be stubborn-headed and still be, you know, in our ways and set in our ways. That's cool, but utilize the resources that God has given us to help us overcome. And as we overcome one thing, guess what? It's going to be something else that we're going to have to do. But all too well do I know about the hard head leading for a soft and sore behind. But again, I just thank God that his grace and mercy has kept me for 41, 42 years, because I've known so many people that aren't so lucky. They made one stubborn, bullheaded mistake, and it's compromised the rest of their life. There's no coming back from it. So I thank God the mistakes I've made have been minimal, and God has spared me. And, you know, and I thank him for putting a mother and a father in my life that preached no nonsense, but also instilled the word of God in us at an early age. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. Your final comment to close us out in prayer, please, sir.
Well, I think everyone pretty much have hit the head on the nail. You know, the lessons that we learn in life, we can either do it the Lord's way or we can do it our way. But when you listen to God and be obedient, it just makes the way and it makes the journey a little bit easier. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening with you. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, that something that we said means something to us right now. Father, we pray that we will continue to learn the lessons that you teach. Help us, O Lord, to be better tomorrow or today than what we were on yesterday. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us the rest of this week. And, O God, whatever your will is, just let it be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.